This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by IT Pro TV, an easy, entertaining approach to online IT training. Visit itpro.tv/what-the-tech and use the code WTT30 for a free 7-day trial and 30% off the lifetime of your account. And by FreshBooks. For a 30-day free trial, go to freshbooks.com/WTT and enter in What the Tech in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Hey everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. Paul Theroux. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
In your in your very empty room.
Yeah, this is the prison cell I'm going to be stuck with for the next couple of months.
This is, you're doing hard time.
Yep. God, I think that's my hair.
What is that?
Is my hair like sticking up? No, it's so weird.
Yeah, it is sticking up. Looks nice. Looks beautiful.
Jeez, I'm a mess.
It's okay. It's okay. We're all messes. I am so tired. Between this new job and running a business full time and having two kids.
Sure.
And trying to get my life in order. I just actually spent the entire morning cleaning half my studio, and the other half is now still a disaster. So I'm making my way, you know, out the door essentially. I do have I have so much to talk about. I want to talk about Apple and I want to talk about everything that's going on. But before we do, let's take a moment and talk about our sponsor, and that's IT Pro TV. This episode is brought to you by IT Pro TV, an easy, entertaining approach to IT training. Nobody wants to sit and do a webinar and have a, you know, no matter how great the information is, if it's not presented properly, if it doesn't look good, it doesn't sound good, you're going to have issues kind of connecting to the product that you're learning. Nobody wants to go back to school and it being treated like school. What IT Pro TV does is unbelievable. They do high quality content. Over 2,000 hours of content has been produced and more than 30 hours of content is added weekly. You could watch on your Chromecast, on Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, PC, Mac, it doesn't matter. It's everywhere. And you could choose courses anywhere from ethical hacking to Windows Server to Photoshop or Intro to JavaScript. You could do everything you want to do, whether you want to learn something new, like I want to learn Illustrator, I want to relearn Photoshop, or you're trying to get to that next level. You're going for a certification and you're trying to grow in the company that you are, or you're looking to get a new job and you need a certification. IT Pro TV has it for you. Premium members have access to over 100 step-by-step virtual machine labs and unlimited practice exams. By the way, over $109 value, those practice exams, and you get access to them. They have the free membership, which you could go there, check out the live feeds and several free courses. If you could sit there and you could watch all of them and just follow through, or you could do a standard membership where you get access to all the entire course library, the content IT Pro TV produces on a daily basis, and a whole lot more. These guys are great. If you are in IT, if you're looking to learn something new, go check them out. It's IT Pro TV, itpro.tv/what-the-tech. We're going to have the notes in our chat, in our show notes, but also you could use the code WTT30. That's WTT30 for a free 7-day trial and 30% off the lifetime of your account. I want to thank IT Pro TV for supporting the show. So, Paul.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about the Apple announcements.
Yeah.
Number one, I totally forgot it was WWDC. Okay.
Andrew, WWDC is Christmas and your birthday all rolled up in one. How could you forget?
Well, I could forget because I'm so distracted with life right now. And I wrote that. Sure. I was like, right. And I wrote, you know, on Twitter, I wrote something like, oh, wow, I'm really surprised WWDC. I totally forgotten about it. And I get like, oh, well, I didn't forget about it. How could you forget about it? It was promoted for months. I was like, okay, guys, I got it.
But so, I've got life going on over here.
I'm sorry.
I have a child.
Yeah. But Hellcat has timed us. He said we have 10 minutes to talk about Apple and be out of here.
That's good. All right.
So there was a whole bunch of announcements, obviously software side, and there was a hardware announcement. Where do you want to go? What stood out the most to you with this?
Actually, before we do that, I here's something I haven't talked about anywhere yet, and this is a topic I feel like I should write about a little bit. When this is now the third major platform makers developer show to occur in a row, right? Microsoft back in May had Build 2017. A week or two later, Google had Google I/O, and now we've got WWDC.
Yeah.
The shows are a little different because, well, actually, they have a lot of similarities. But Google and Microsoft, I think, both have a lot going on in the cloud where Apple doesn't. Google and Apple have a lot going on in mobile devices where Microsoft strictly doesn't, although they had a bunch of mobile announcements as well. All three companies use their keynote to announce major consumer-facing products and services rather than talk about developer stuff. I would say of the three, Microsoft was probably the most developer-focused from a keynote perspective. They actually had two keynotes, not just one. Now, for Google I/O and Apple WWDC, what you need to do is go to their respective developer websites and watch the sessions online and kind of keep up that way. I'm not sure if Apple's are publicly available, but I'm in the, you know, the developer program, so I can do that. So I think the thing that kind of strikes me in a way about how different, or maybe is how different Apple is from those other two companies, because they approach things in a very different way. And when you look at any of those new products that they announced, whether it was iOS type software or new devices like that, what do they call it? The HomePod.
HomePod,
most terrible name of all time. Siri appliance. You have to do it through this lens of Apple does things differently, you know, because they really do.
No, they do. They have a way of delivering a message.
By the way, I'm not saying it's better.
No. But I mean, you know what though? It is. It possibly is better because their messaging is always. It's always on point, and it always stands out amongst all the other tech companies. You know, Samsung puts out announcements, and you know, Microsoft does it. But it does. No matter what great announcement Microsoft does, and you know, for us, that Surface laptop is a big deal. But most people really don't really hear about it.
Right.
Normal people.
Whereas a lot of people hear about the Apple stuff.
Which a lot of people hear about the Apple stuff. Yeah.
So here's one thing to consider, just in talking about differences and so forth. We have collectively, all of us, tech enthusiasts, whoever, who cover the industry, have been wondering how Apple would address this new market for these digital assistant appliances, right? We've known for a while or suspected for a while that they're going to come out with a speaker, which they did. Their speaker is music first, digital assistant second. They almost have a kind of a testing vibe to it. Like, we're going to throw this out there and see how it goes. Depending on how people use it, we're going to enhance it in certain ways, you know. Whereas I think the Alexa devices that Amazon makes, the Google Home device, of course. And then
assistant first, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, music is one of the things, you know, but none of them are designed to be the speaker. In fact, you know, Amazon's strategy is very interesting because they have what I would call the assistant version of a Chromecast, which is just that little $50 Dot device or whatever it's – or is it called Dot?
Yeah.
Whatever it's called, the little one, which is designed to hook up to the speaker you already have, right? Which is not the way Apple does things. You know, Apple likes to put out the very expensive all-in-one solution. But aside from the hardware strategy stuff, honestly, the biggest – distinction between what Apple is doing and what everyone else is doing is that Apple, because they've really kind of painted themselves into an interesting corner. They're not going to violate your privacy. They're not going to collect data about you, even anonymously, use it up in the cloud with machine learning in a data center somewhere and use it to improve this service. Instead, what they use is generic data that is not tied to anybody and is not as useful or powerful as what the other companies can do in the cloud. And instead, what they're going to do is put the AI capabilities, the machine learning capabilities on the device. And so the device, which you control and own, will have your personal information on it. You know, your phone, your Apple TV, your HomePod. I'm never going to get used to that name. And that they're going to do some kind of an alchemy thing right there on the device. And I got to say, I think they will achieve a certain level of success because they're Apple and people who buy Apple products tend to buy a lot of stuff. But I think this is a dead end, and I think they lose that battle, you know, because Google and Amazon and Microsoft can do this stuff up in the cloud. Yeah. And adding capabilities is super easy. You know, if you think about HomePod, HomePod's probably not going to improve in March, in July, in whatever months. It's going to improve when V2 comes out, right? There will be a HomePod OS that they announced next year that is revved on a yearly basis, just like iOS and watchOS and all the other things they have. And when you combine those two paths, I mean, I see them, you know, they're kind of going off to the side. And I think it's going to be kind of, it's just going to be kind of an also-ran kind of thing.
Yeah, so to kind of go down some of the stuff, tvOS, they announced Amazon Prime Video, and then Tim Cook said, we promise more updates later in the year.
Well, so they did announce some small things for tvOS during the sessions. Nothing worth discussing.
Yeah, nothing crazy. WatchOS 4, they announced that. New Siri-powered watch faces. They once again wasted all the time with blinking lights during your run, and people went crazy for it. Okay, fine. I'm going to skip over that. And then now we're at the
safety
Mac
issue.
Yeah, safety issue. Now we're at the Mac side, Mac OS. Hi, Sierra. A lot of pot jokes here.
So Hi, Sierra is not particularly interesting in the sense that they're not advancing the state of the art in any way. It's just a very minor update. I've installed it on the MacBook Air I have. I've never been super impressed by Mac OS X. I don't understand what the big deal is, but iOS 11 is a much bigger deal, but we'll get to that in a minute. The hardware announcements they made on the Mac side, however, including some of the ones they kind of glossed over, are actually all very interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
The only interesting thing on the software side for Hi Sierra was the new file system.
Yeah, but I mean, that works properly, it doesn't impact anybody.
It doesn't impact
Right? If you hear stories about people having problems with APFS, something has gone horribly wrong, you know?
So here is the hardware updates, and then we'll get to iOS 11 for the Mac. New iMacs.
Right.
A better display, faster processor, graphics
4K to the 21.5.
Suitable for VR. They were very much into the VR stuff.
Right.
More memory capacity and some new ports. The MacBook and the MacBook Pro get new chipsets and new drives.
The MacBook, by the way, got the keyboard from the MacBook Pro, essentially, right?
Yeah.
The keyboard of those initial two gens were terrible. In fact, it was the reason I was so afraid of the MacBook Pro keyboard. And in fact, they improved it dramatically. And now they brought that to the small device. Yeah. So it still has the crappy webcam. Only one port.
Updated
chipsets. But the Kaby Lake, and it's got the better keyboard. So they're getting there. You know, Apple Gen 4 will nail it, but, you know, they're getting there.
I am very surprised they updated the MacBook Pro to Kaby Lake.
So soon after.
And it says a lot. And I guarantee you there is more than just a CPU upgrade in this thing. Given the reliability issues you've seen. I'm not a betting man, Paul, but I think that they realize that this thing is a dud. Which, by the way, I'm not done with my problems with this MacBook Pro. I have a blown speaker.
Let's not get sidetracked. We'll save that for later.
So I think
am surprised by one thing, though, right?
Yeah.
Knowing that they were going to update the 15, you know, these devices. They did one thing I thought was smart. There's the low-end version of the 13-inch MacBook Pro
that does not have a lower price.
They lowered the price to $1,299, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a symbolic gesture. It's important. There was a time when the entry-level MacBook Pro and the high-end MacBook Air did that. And this is a hint at where things are going, right? So I think that was smart. The one thing they didn't do that I really wish they would do, and I think it would address a lot of concerns, is release a 15-inch version that doesn't have that stupid touch strip on it. You know, I think there are a lot of Pro users that just don't want the baloney. And I they're making a mistake not doing that. It's too bad.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Was there anything else? Oh, yeah, the iMac Pro. Let's talk about this.
Hold on one second. They revved the MacBook Air.
They did rev the faster chip, right?
Now, all they did was add a new processor. It's not Kaby Lake. It's Skylake.
Is it Skylake?
Yeah, it's a previous gen. And I suspect it's because of the system architecture that's in the device, right? It was probably a simple swap out because they didn't change anything else, like the RAM, the drive, you know, the screen, obviously, which is the big issue with that device. None of that was changed. Yeah. So they just, by the way, they might have updated it because they can't get the old parts, you know, for
that's
all
quite
I know.
Possible. Yeah.
It's unclear what the point of it was, but they did update it.
Yeah. Do you want to go into the MacBook, the iMac Pro?
Yeah. So, one of a couple of devices they kind of pre-announced, right? Because this thing won't be sold until the end of the year, but they had that weird little, apology about the Mac Pro earlier this year.
I was very surprised. Yeah.
I'm kind of conflicted on this one. Obviously, it's very expensive, but given what it is, it's true workstation class performance. I mean, okay.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. This device makes way more sense than the Mac Pro.
Oh, a lot more sense.
The iMac Pro is what they should have announced, or instead of a Mac Pro.
Yeah.
3 years.
Oh, you're saying this is what they should have announced
3 years ago? Yeah, when they announced that stupid Mac Mac Pro that nobody bought.
But here's what I think they should have done. Had a pizza box and a detachable, a normal screen. Like the iMac screen separated.
Oh, I thought you literally meant a pizza box.
And the reason I say that is because, are you okay?
I thought you literally meant the pizza box.
No, like a, you know, like a rectangular.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I still think this kind of shows they still don't get the pro market. You know, that. Yeah. The pro market needs the modularity stuff. And also, when my screen dies, I want to be able to keep using my computer or vice versa. That said, when you think about Apple and when you think about how most of what they do is mobility-based and they're very interested in thin and light and all that kind of stuff, you know, for them, the iMac Pro actually makes sense. It's such an Apple product.
And I you know, when they announced that Mac Pro, I said, nobody's buying this thing. And I was right. Nobody, small group of people.
It was silly.
I'm going to tell you, people are going to buy this.
Mm.
People are going to buy this. A lot of people.
In fact, this, you know, the reason this exists, by the way, is because of the Surface Studio, right?
Absolutely.
So had Surface Studio not happened, had so many people not called out Apple publicly for not getting creatives, for not getting their pro customers, they never would have apologized. They never would have released this stupid thing.
Yeah. It's a pretty device.
So it's smart. Yeah. It's a smart response. It's also very clearly a response.
Yeah. And new iMacs. The iMacs have been upgraded. So there was something interesting about that 21.5-inch iMac.
The way I understand it, I'm not an expert on the iMac stuff, but I believe what they were saying is that for the first time, you can get a 5K display on the 21.5 version.
Yes, but
and
it's
it was
also,
under some, it was, or maybe it was the first time under a price point. Like, in other words, I don't remember what that price point was, but something like $1,600 or something, you can get the really beautiful screen on the smaller device.
So I really would like someone to clarify this. Maybe you could, but I saw two separate posts identical, okay? One said, 21.5-inch iMac upgradable, where you could actually upgrade the RAM. And I saw another one that said 21.5-inch iMac not upgradable. So I just saw this about 5 minutes ago, so I didn't have a chance to look at it. Is it upgradable at all or no?
I don't know. I saw the same thing you saw where someone had said it was user serviceable.
Okay. I mean, listen, this is a fine device too. So they're just upgrading their line, like they should be. The Mac Mini, nothing with that, obviously.
Yeah.
No hardware upgrade on that. But, you know,
their product line is ripe for, no, but remember what I said about the iMac Pro, right? For Apple, that kind of all-in-one sleek kind of thing makes sense, even at the high end of the market.
Yeah.
Honestly, it makes sense for them at the low end of the market. They used to always do things like the eMac, remember, was like the education version of the iMac. I think when it first came out, it had a CRT screen even. What they have now is a 21.5-inch non-4K or 5K, I don't remember how the screens work, version of an iMac that you can get for fairly cheap, right? This is Apple, right? So if you're hitting around $1,000, that's entry level for Apple,
yeah.
You know, frankly.
Yeah. anything I'm missing from the hardware stuff? On the Mac side? No, right?
No, they didn't. They actually, kind of a mini side story, and by the way, also in keeping with a little conversation about how Apple does things, they released a wireless version of their keyboard that has a numeric keypad on it, right? That sounds like whatever. Yeah. But what that means is they no longer have wired keyboards.
Did they have any wire? I don't think they've had a wired keyboard in a long time.
If you wanted the full-size keyboard with the numeric keypad, you had to get wired before.
Really? I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So this is Apple. You know, they're modernizing across the board. Like
across the board.
No, but they are. I mean, it's interesting.
iPad Pro, 10.5 inch. Yeah. I actually like this device. to be honest, you know what I have here.
Right. What do you have? The 12.9.
I have the gigantic one. This thing.
Yeah. So by the way, three things actually that I think are greatly important with the iPad Pro. One is they introduced that 10.5 inch version, which is what you were describing. This is basically the same body as the 9.7, but they do the bezel-less thing.
Yeah.
And stretch the display out. So that's neat. And I expect to see, you know, that kind of thing you see everywhere, right? You're going to see it everywhere. You're going to see it on the iPhone this year. The second thing they did was there was a weird disparity between the 12.9 and the 9.7 inch iPad Pros before. They were essentially different generation devices. And so the newer, cheaper, smaller version had a set of better screen technologies that were lacking in the 12.9 inch version. Different processor. There was just a different... They were different in kind of weird ways. This time around, what they've done is they've revved both devices. So there's a 10.5 and a 12.9. But the internals are essentially exactly the same, which I think is super smart. And that kind of gets rid of that goofiness. But the third thing, and actually I think this is the most important point, is the software, right? And if you were to go and buy an iPad Pro 10.5 today or a 12.9, it doesn't matter, you're getting iOS 10, which is Fisher-Price, baby OS, giant icons and a screen, stupid dock, you know, limited multitasking, et cetera, et cetera. iOS 11 significantly raises the bar for this kind of hybrid device, this two-in-one type PC on the iOS side.
Yeah.
And, This is the threat to the PC that I've been talking about for 2 years and have been confused by their lack of alacrity. Like they simply haven't, you know, made any substantive improvements to the system.
Listen,
since they announced the first one.
I have this 13 inch or what is it? It's 12.9.
It's 12.
It's 42 inches wide. This thing. When my Mac was in repair, I was using this for work, and I do a lot of the social media updates and stuff like that for the company. And the thing I wanted the most was some sort of file management.
Right.
Like it makes no sense that I have to, dance around.
Here's something you need
things.
To, you should look this up.
Yeah.
When I was at Build, we saw this guy Harry McCracken. He's a good guy. He's been around for a long time. Tech journalist. And it was one of those moments where I think I elbowed, Mary Jo or somebody, Brad, somebody. And I was like, look at Harry. Harry was over there using an iPad Pro.
Hmm.
And I never actually talked to him about it, but I kind of observed it for a little while. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And he just wrote an article, and I don't know if it was right before WWDC or right after WWDC, where he wrote about this. And not about me seeing him, Bill. I mean, but about him using this for work. And he said, I get so many people who come up to me and said, I don't understand how you can do that. I could never get work done on that thing. And his response to that, Siri just piped up.
I don't understand who that is, Paul.
It thought I said Siri. He basically says, the problem with people is that they have these workflows that they refuse to reconsider ever. And he says, basically, the way the iPad Pro is today, before iOS 11, you can get work done on it. It's just that you got to get by those things.
Yeah.
For example, I don't have an exact answer for what you just said about why I can't access the file system. But his response to that is there actually is already a system in iOS for me to access the cloud services through a share interface that I already use for all my documents anyway, and it works fine. now with this new system, they're improving it so that even people who had these kind of workflow blockers, in many cases, should be able to move to the new device. And that's what's interesting about it, right? So what you just described, perfect example. I would have a million examples of this because I'm very specific. You know, use a keyword.
I am too. I'm so specific with the way that I work. Let's talk about Instagram, for example, mm-hmm. right? It is a phone. It is only on your phone. You don't even have an Instagram app on the iPad. It's a phone app. But I have a desktop application called Flume that I use for Instagram because it just works in my workflow. I could just drag and drop, boom, 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 do it that way. Again, I have a system and it works well for me, and this is how I do things. Now you have your way also. That's been the disconnect with mobile devices for me for work.
Right. And I think that this is the thing I've talked about this a lot. It just hasn't kind of happened. You know, you look at like a Chromebook and they add Android apps and you're like, oh, here they come. Like this thing's already like a laptop and now they've added apps that actually work. Like this is going to be a big deal. But then it takes longer for it to happen than Google expected, let alone us. And it's been kind of treading water for a while. So you're like, okay. But you have this iPad Pro thing on the other side and you're like, well, all right, it's not going to be that hard. But they would have to do things that Apple would typically never do. One of those things is add like pointer support, right? So you could use like a trackpad or something. Now, a lot of people would say Apple will never do that. They'll never do that. It's against everything that Apple stands for. But you know, Apple was never going to give you access to the file system, and they just added it. So as far as I'm concerned,
do you know how limited it's going to be? Have you used it yet?
Yeah. It's actually unusable today because I think the issue might just be that iOS 11 hasn't come out, you know, hasn't out for anyone yet. So there are no files in the file system, according to this app on my phone.
Okay.
But see, the thing is, I don't actually care about files on the phone. What I care about are files where I store files, which is in my case, OneDrive or Dropbox or whatever. And the files app is extensible to support these cloud services. And that, I think, is the genius part of it. But you know, the truth is, I think Harry McCracken was right about something, which is that the reason we sort of need file system access is because that's how we approach documents and other files today. We you know, I do this all day long. It's, you know, Windows key E brings up File Explorer and click, 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 away I go. I think about it from that direction because I've come at it from like a PC focus, you know. It doesn't have to be that way. And even in the world of people who do what I do, there are people who do things very differently. Like, for example, I use, actually it's just a text editor these days. Historically, it's been a word processor. But I save documents to my desktop that I later put somewhere else. And I write stories. It works offline. I don't have to be online for that to work. And I see other people open a web browser, go to WordPress, and just write their article right inside WordPress.
Yeah.
Now, I would never do that, I guess. I mean, maybe someday I will, but I don't do that. And I find that odd personally. But then why am I introducing like this unnecessary extra step? Why do I have to have a file somewhere? I mean, and if you think about it, if you eliminate that part of it for this one thing, it's only one workflow, but one thing, one important thing. What's file system access doesn't matter anymore at all.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Interesting.
It's interesting, yeah.
It's a different way of thinking. I'm curious as to how functional it's going to be compared to the traditional sense of, you know, file system access.
I am too, yeah. So there's a bunch of stuff going on with multitasking and other productivity features in iOS 11 that only apply to the iPad Pro, or maybe to iPads in general, but I'm
okay,
very
interested. I missed that part because I had to leave.
So
like, I couldn't bear to look at Craig Federini's beautiful hair at that point. So I had to stop watching.
I like, by the way, he's one of the few guys at Apple I really, really like. He's clearly a great guy.
Yeah.
I always put these betas on my devices pretty much right away. I have very rarely been bitten by anything on the Apple side. Those things have typically been very stable and they've worked very well for me. This iOS beta, this first one, is a freaking disaster. It's so bad that sometime today I will be wiping up my iPad mini. I've already restored it back to the previous version of the OS, but now it won't let the app updates happen. And I'm pretty much going to have to blow it away. It literally, after I used it a few times, it kept rebooting on its own. and then it stuck on that Apple logo screen.
Boy. Yeah.
And I had to repair it. Like there was no way to, you couldn't bring it back.
Yeah.
Really buggy.
Some of the other things to kind of blow through this. iMessage will now synchronize better between devices, which I think is a great idea. Yep. So people said, well, it always has done that.
Yeah, that's what I said. Okay. Well, because I don't use iMessage. I don't use like a Mac, so I don't.
Okay.
I don't really ever see this, but I thought it did.
So here's where I would like to know more if anybody else knows. So let's say you have, you know, I have an iPhone here, I have my Mac here, I got a tablet there. Every time I get a message, it'll go to all my devices because I've set it that way. So I have, you know, it's the same message on every platform, but iOS does not, if I blow this thing away, for example, it doesn't recover my messages. Right? Like, it doesn't...
Actually, I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, so it's tied into the backup of this copy. But let's say there's a problem with this backup. There's a problem with, every time I do the backup, I encounter the same issue. You can't just sync your iMessages. You know, it's not independent of the backup. What now, from what I understand, is that it's going to be totally independent, where if you could just restore your iMessages. Like the Verizon Messenger has that, where every time I get a new device and I install this application, it'll give me my phone number, it'll give me a confirmation that says, hey, do you want to restore 90 days of your text messages? And I say yes. So it's still a clean install on my phone. I'm not backing it up from anywhere, but
it's on
the cloud somewhere. The other thing
I think that's a fantastic idea. That's where everything should be.
So the other part was, this was interesting. iMessage will now synchronize better between devices and will free up storage space by offloading things like old photo messages.
Just like everything
to
else.
Cloud.
iOS 11 will offload apps. If you don't use an app after a certain amount of time, optionally, you can have it just get rid of it. And it will keep the data for the app on the device.
Yeah.
So if you bring it back, you know, you're all set.
We also have Apple Pay is now supporting person-to-person messaging. I think this is going to be big.
Yeah.
This is actually a big deal for a lot of people. I have tons of friends that do Chase Quick Pay all the time.
Oh, that's interesting.
All the time. I mean, it's actually, I had no idea until I went to Chase because I left Citibank for my business. I moved my business account to Chase. And I get people that ask me all the time, oh, do you have Chase? Like, example, we ordered food, a bunch of my friends. And one of us had nobody had cash.
Sure.
One guy said, oh, guys, just Chase Quick Pay me everything. I'll just put it on the card right now. So we all gave
him 20
bucks.
I'm just going to say this. You millennials drive me insane. Here's an idea. Buy a freaking wallet, put some money in it, and get a credit card, would you?
We don't carry wallets anymore. We carry these. Look, I got 40 bucks in here.
Look, I have 40 euro bucks in here.
And
it's the only thing that fits in my euro pocket.
Actually, you know what's really funny? You could tell that this was not designed in the U.S. because you can't fit money, American money.
What do you have to do, like fold the end of it?
I have to fold the end of the money to fit it.
Unbelievable.
So,
classic.
Andrew, do they charge a fee? No, they do not charge a fee. Chase QuickPay does not charge a fee, which is great. So I just Chase QuickPaid. It's quicker.
How do they make money?
Chase to Chase. They've gotten your money already, Paul. They've gotten it. So I'll give an example. I pay myself from my company with Chase QuickPay. It's easier for me to do that way than to transfer it to my bank account.
I have literally never heard of this. When you brought up the PayPal thing.
Actually, we have spoken about Chase QuickPay, you and I. I've asked you once, do you have Chase? And you said yes.
Okay.
I don't even know if you do.
Oh, you maybe asked if you could pay with that.
I was going to
pay. And then I said
because
it's a credit card. I don't have a Chase bank account.
I think this is cool. I think for a lot of people, it's actually very useful. I'm just curious.
Okay, but it's also very Chase specific. Like, obviously, the nice thing about PayPal is it's just out universal. It's money.
But,
you know,
not a lot of people have PayPal. Not everybody has PayPal.
They should because it's universal and it's just money.
Yeah. I'm curious as to how Apple Pay will work. Will Apple Pay tie into your bank account? Or do you have to keep money in Apple Pay?
What? For what? What are you talking about?
Right, so if I'm with Apple Pay Cash and iMessage.
Apple Pay Cash?
Yeah, this is the whole thing with iMessage.
Oh,
right, that
I don't think it works like that, do you?
Yeah, it's person to person. So I could say
no, I understand it's person to person, but that doesn't mean Apple's functioning as a bank, does it?
Well, that was a problem with Google Wallet. Do you remember that? That was a big problem with it. Because they attempted the same thing, kind of, but it wouldn't tie into the bank account. It was...
Right. Yeah, so they made two different... Yeah, they had to split it out into its own thing.
Yeah. But who wants to keep, like, $100 in Apple Pay? You know what I mean? Like, who's going to put $100 aside in this Apple money?
But see, I don't see it working that way. In other words, you already have a... set of payment methods that work through Apple Pay. One of them could be your bank account. It could be your, you know, your debit card. Or
and
whatever.
it'll just send it immediately.
Yeah. Yes, like that's how I assume that this works. I don't think that Apple, you know, here's $100 into Apple Pay. Now here's $100 from Apple Pay to Andrew. Like I don't think it works.
I think this is actually very useful. I know a lot of people are going to kind of poo-poo on this and say, "Oh, it's stupid," but I really don't think it's stupid. I think the way that we function as a society. This is going to actually
make sense. I use PayPal all the time for this kind of thing and not on a mobile device, but that's because there's no good interface for that. Yeah. So now that can happen. That's fine.
Let's see. The camera will use more efficient algorithms for file formats for photos and videos, which means they'll take up less space than before. Apple seems to be moving beyond JPEG as a default for photos, which could raise some compatibility issues.
Past H.264 as well.
They're going to H.265, which a lot of people are.
But short term, there's an issue there. In other words, if I use Google Photos, I actually don't know the answer to this. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
And the default photo format in iOS 11 is now this new thing, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
EVDAC or something.
What is it going to look like in Google Photos? Yeah, that's interesting.
Is it going to look like anything on Google Photos? Will it show up in Google Photos? I have no idea. I changed it to JPEG. But the other thing is, this is a great example of Apple doing a real candy ass kind of child user interface. Let me read to you how this is described. And by the way, like I said, they made that format change without asking, which I really do not appreciate. So you upgrade and it just does it. Why can't I find this stupid thing?
So you should try it, right? Take a photo and see what happens with Google Photos.
No.
No, so, I will not.
So listen to how it explains this. Where is it? Formats. There are two. These are the formats you get to choose from: high efficiency and most compatible. Come on.
Do you want the fastest, the best sports car?
That's what
it
says. It says to reduce file size, capture photos and videos in the high efficiency HEIF/HEVC format.
Yeah.
Most compatible will always use JPEG and H.264. That's all it says.
Yep. I'll give an example. We're going to be switching to H.265 very soon.
No, that's fine. I don't care about video at all. What I'm really concerned about is this photo format.
It's a photo format.
Some people have told me that this is some kind of an open standard, which I hope it is.
Yeah, I think it is.
And if it is, it probably works fine with Google Photos. But, you know, it would be a tragic thing to go through a transition like this and lose a vacation's worth of photos because Apple decided to change your setting to high efficiency.
Yeah. I think it'll be okay. redesigned App Store, iPad specific features in iOS 11, including a new dock for apps, new multi app view for multitasking, drag and drop support for file apps, some other stuff. I not really important. So overall,
that stuff is actually incredibly important. But
which one?
There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I mentioned. Yeah. I think this is not a gigantic leap, but I think this is a very nice evolution of the operating system. Once again, we're not going to get these. Do you think we're going to get a major overhaul of this OS? I don't think so. I think this is it.
Well, I don't think we need it. No. Frankly, the big piece they're not addressing is the home screen, which is still this really out of date whack-a-mole kind of thing. Yeah. And it blows my mind that the simplest feature of all, allow the person to drag an icon to anywhere on that grid, right? I would position my icons at the bottom of the screen where I could reach them one-handed. So would a lot of people. I don't understand why they don't allow this.
What do you mean?
Here's what I mean. Look at the screen.
Yeah.
Can you see that? I can't see it on my own screen.
There we go.
See where the icons are? Okay, at the top?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to see, but what I don't have is icons in the bottom of the screen.
Oh, it'll...
It won't let me put them down there.
It won't let you put them down there.
Using this thing, I have a big hand. I mean, I can't. I'm holding it artificially. I can barely reach that bottom level. The truth is, when I'm actually holding it in this hand, I can't. I can't use this thing one-handed. But I could if you just let me move the icons. Like, why?
You shall not move the icons.
It's crazy. But you know what? They've made a lot of other big changes. Yeah. They're doing a nice app-level redesign, which they're not really talking about too much. But it's that app style that debuted with Apple Music a couple of years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, whatever it was. And they've been applying that style to more apps. And then in iOS 11, they're letting developers use the style as well. And so I think you're going to see that in a lot of different places. It's really attractive. The other thing that's really cool, by the way, and this is, you know, in the scope of web browsers, is actually fairly game changing. They're allowing you to enable always on reader view. So in other words, you're browsing the New York Times website or the CNN website. And when you're on the article list page, it looks like the website. But when you click on one of the articles, it loads it in reader view automatically.
Oh, that's
meaning you don't see ads, you don't see clutter.
I like that.
Well, I like it too, but you know, there's going to be a lot of complaints about that from content creators because it's bypassing the way that they make money.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of incredible. That's an interesting thing to do.
All my devices are beeping right now, and I have no idea why and where it's coming from, and I can't stop it. This is insane. All I want you to do is stop. Like, it's every device. I have your problem right now. There we go. Muted. Thank you. So overall, not a terrible event. I think these were decent upgrades to the operating system.
Look, they announced a lot of stuff. I mean, iOS 11 is a huge deal on iPad. It's not a huge deal on the iPhone. But it's also kind of a mature OS, so whatever. I mean, I have my complaints. macOS 10, nothing. I didn't see anything. You know, nothing special there. tvOS, nothing at all. watchOS, nothing of interest. But I think this kind of tells you where they are from a maturity standpoint. These are all pretty mature products all of a sudden. What's that?
Was that phone ringing you or me?
I didn't hear it, so it must
have been. I think I'm just hearing things at this point. I think I've lost my mind. HomePod, quickly, $349 price point on this thing. I know it's the speaker that you're buying, right? That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm not spending $700 to get stereo. This is ludicrous.
Yeah, I don't care about it. I don't want to dwell on it. Yeah. I do want to take a moment before I go into some more stuff really quickly before we wrap it up. I want to take a moment and talk about our sponsor, FreshBooks. For a free 30-day trial, go to freshbooks.com/WTT and enter What the Tech in the How You Heard About Us section. Small business accounting software that makes billings painless and simple. Today, I'll give a great example. I invoiced the wrong amount to somebody, and they told me, you have 20 minutes because I'm leaving. I'm going away for the weekend to get paid. So I immediately went to FreshBooks, edited my invoice, and boom, I was done. It automatically updated on his end. This thing is great. If you have a small business, if you're a freelancer, I know many of us are here, and you need a simple and inexpensive way to have some sort of accountability for your invoicing and know how much you're billing and how you're doing it, go to freshbooks.com/WTT and sign up there. Paul, let's take a moment and talk about something else.
Okay.
If I could open up my notes, that would be very helpful.
I mean, I feel sad that we're not going to keep talking about Apple, but that's fine.
Game Pass.
What is it?
The Xbox.
Oh, Game Pass. Yeah. I heard GamePad. I was like, what GamePad?
That's the GamePad awesome. That's coming out. Microsoft's new Xbox Game Pass service.
Yeah, so I think it debuted. I have a hard time with dates now. Was it the beginning of this week or last week? I think it was the beginning of this week. Well, it debuted recently. It doesn't really matter. Anyway, $10 a month, subscription service, access to over 100 Xbox 360 and Xbox One games. It's only available to Xbox One users, right? It's not for the 360, but those 360 games play in backwards compatibility. It's a lot like the PlayStation service. PlayStation or Sony has something called PlayStation Now, with one key difference. On PlayStation Now, you can stream the games. Actually, you have to stream the games. Which could result in some quality problems if you don't have a perfect internet connection. Whereas on the Microsoft service, you actually have to download them to the console. On the flip side, that means you can't really play the game until it's downloaded, at least partially, and that can take a while. So it makes it a little harder to sample games. But you get this kind of cool library to choose from, and it's just like an all-you-can-eat music service. Everything that's there is open to you. It's, in this case, it's just up to hard drive's size. Obviously, you can't download the whole collection.
This seems really cool. I know in the article on Therat.com you said a Netflix video game, a Netflix for video games, not quite.
Well, right. But what I was responding to was everyone likes to describe stuff in pat ways, this is a Netflix for video games. No, it isn't. That's what PlayStation Now is. Yeah. Streaming service. Netflix is a streaming service. This is not a streaming service. It's the opposite. It is a video game subscription service. Yes. But you can't stream the game. So to me, that's the key, the key issue. The other thing is that this service has new games on it, like new Xbox One games, whereas PlayStation Now today only has PlayStation 3 games. It doesn't have newer PlayStation 4 games as part of the subscription. So that is changing this year, but they haven't changed it yet.
Yeah. Very interesting.
I think this is a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
It doesn't require an Xbox Live Gold account. You don't need that. So it's not like you have to, stack subscriptions to get it. And for the same reason that $10 a month is a great price for music, it's the same thing for video games. I mean, new video games are $60 a piece. You can try a ginormous game like the Halo or whatever and Gears of War or whatever. And if you love it, you can buy it. And if you've got it as part of the subscription, you actually get a discount when you buy it too. So, it's kind of a nice deal.
What's the price on it?
On the subscription or the purchase?
Subscription.
It's $9.99 a month.
Okay. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
No, it's good. That's a good idea.
Scorpio, really quickly, let's touch on this. I can change my camera. For some reason, it doesn't want to work. There we go. There's secret messages in the video.
Yeah. We've got some crazy. Lonely guys out on the internet with a lot of free time on their hands.
People are getting very excited. That's a shocker.
But people have been still framing through these promo videos that Microsoft made, and they found what they say are clues. At least one clue about Scorpio. One of the things they found is it's like a little sign in a particular scene that says 6 is greater than 4.
Yeah.
And this is probably a secret message because reportedly the Xbox One Scorpio delivers 6 teraflops of performance. We know that the PlayStation 4 Pro delivers 4. 6 is greater than 4. Okay. But there's a really dubious one in there, and it's I actually have never seen it with my own eyes, but I'm told it's there. In a crowd scene at a concert, if you zoom into part of the stage, it says something like, I'm doing this off the top of my head, but like X01 and then 171013. Right?
I believe it's 101317.
Okay, I did it in reverse. Sorry, I did it the correct way.
You did
it
the correct way.
This is an American date. Yeah, in other words, October 13th, 2017.
Will be the day it's released.
Maybe.
Interesting.
This one's a little dubious. It's actually, that date is separated by a dash, which is not where the dash would go.
Maybe it could be pre-order.
Scorpio is an astrological sign. That date does not fall within the time frame for the Scorpio astrological sign.
That would be November,
sign.
Yeah. It would have to
that
be
would
November.
Be typical Microsoft to screw that up. I don't know. I just think it's fun. You know what? Yeah. The truth is, regardless of whether this is true or not, it's amazing. And I beg all of you who are still framing through Microsoft videos right now to step outside into the sun and just, get some vitamin D.
Yeah. Oh, that's excellent. So I believe that was it for this week. We'll do a quick recording for the bonus show before you go for your meeting.
Okay.
And I will tell everybody my terrible Apple. Experience, my Apple, my Apple nightmare. I don't want.
But let me ask you this question. You would buy another Apple device, right?
No, I'm done. This was it. No, it's over. Game over.
But would you give them 5 stars?
Five? Yes, I will. Yeah, okay. I will give them 5. They attempt to. I that is the trick. They make you really think they want to fix your problem, and they're on your side, even though the answer is going to be screw off. So I'll talk about that on the bonus show. If you want to watch the bonus show, if you're watching live, you can stay tuned and watch it. If you are listening to the podcast, go to patreon.com/whatthetech. Patreon.com/whatthetech. You could sign up there. You can fund us, and you get access to all these bonus shows. Paul, anything coming up? Anything new? What's going on in the life of Therat?
Well, you know, I'm moving. I'm going to the Netherlands next Friday.
Oh, nice. I did not know. Oh, yeah, I did know that. Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah. I don't know. I'm like you. I haven't slept now in, I think, 2 weeks. I'm all messed up.
Yeah. It's everything is backwards. What's right is wrong. What's wrong is yellow. All right, guys. That's it for this week. Go subscribe to the podcast. We're everywhere podcasts are available. Until next time, take care.